This is Entertainment Spotlight here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. When you have a piece of legislation that you inspire personally, it's usually not for good reasons. It's usually because something horrible happened to you, or it's because you did something horrible. Sometimes it was inspired because you were a victim and they want to right the wrong to make it more difficult for people to be a victim in the same way that you were. In some cases, you inspire legislation because you did something bad. For example, my grandmother. She inspired a bill in California. In fact, the bill was even for a short time named after her, and then it got a different name when it actually became law. It was a bill over child stars. My aunt was a child star, and my grandmother spent all of her money. I learned more about my grandmother from an article in the Los Angeles Times than I'd ever known about her, although I already knew that she was a thoroughly unpleasant person. And now another piece of legislation has been inspired by the misbehavior of someone here in California. That person is Bill Cosby. California Governor Jerry Brown just signed legislation that ends the U.S. state's 10-year statute of limitations on rape. And this move was prompted by the actions of Bill Cosby, who have had a hard time prosecuting a serial rapist that they just couldn't get him because of the statute of limitations in so many states. He is accused of raping women over a 40-year time period. Unfortunately, in Bill Cosby's case, it will not be retroactive. It won't be able to be used against him. Fortunately, there is one trial that is ongoing where there isn't a statute of limitations. That's the trial that will begin next year, about a year from now, in Philadelphia. So the way the law works is that if you were raped 10 years ago and you haven't filed, then you're probably out of luck. But if you're just shy of 10 years, say you were raped 9 years and 10 months prior to January 2017, then there will be no statute of limitations on that crime. I watched The Danish Girl on HBO last night. This is a British-American production from last year. It starred Eddie Redmayne as Einar Wegner in a dual role because he also played Lily Elbe. He did an amazing job in what was a difficult role because he plays a man who is sexually reassigned through sex reassignment surgery to become a female. So he's got to play a man and a woman, and he did it very, very effectively. The cast was all strong. The problem I have with the movie is that it doesn't really have a lot to do with the real story about them. She was actually the second sexual reassignment surgery, not the first. But it was the one that got the most attention in the press. You don't even really get that in the movie, that this was a big deal at the time in Copenhagen. It was a huge story in the press. Everybody, and they compressed the time scale significantly. It was about over a year, I believe, between the two procedures. The first procedure was to basically remove the genitals. And the second procedure was to, well, they were doing several things, but they tried to implant a uterus. And again, they don't explain what's actually happening in the movie. You just know there's a second procedure that's supposed to provide a vagina, but that isn't what caused the death of Einar Wegner. They actually had all of that stuff down, the being able to create a vagina, the being able to remove the genitalia successfully, and then mold a vagina. That they had. The problem was that they wanted to do a transplant of a uterus because Einar Wegner, now Lily Elbe, wanted to be able to have children. So they did a transplant. The problem was they didn't know how to do transplants yet. The anti-rejection drugs would be some 50 years away. There was actually no way that it was going to be successful. And Einar Wegner, then Lily Elbe, died as a result of complications from the rejection of the transplant. But you don't get any of that from the movie. We have a lot of Gerda Wegner's art in our collection. Just go to the Center for Sexual Expression and Education, centerc.org, that's center, S-E-E,
www.sexualheritage.org,
and go to our project page and look for the Sexual Heritage Preservation Project. You'll learn more about all this amazing art that we have brought together and digitally cleaned up. We have a lot of Gerda Wegner's art, but none of it that we have in our collection will you see in the movie, because they paint a very different version of Gerda Wegner. In the movie, she's basically heterosexual, but in real life, she was bisexual. In the movie, once Einar Wegner becomes Lily, they make it appear that that's the end of their sex life, and with the surgery, the end of their marriage. They did not agree to get divorced. I don't even know that they wanted to, but they were ordered to divorce by the king himself. And in the condensed timeline of the movie, basically, Einar discovers there's really a woman living inside of him, and soon thereafter tries to find a way to become a woman, and then gets the surgery. In truth, after Lily came out, they lived together for a decade and a half in what may have been an unconventional but an apparently very happy marriage. In the movie, Gerda is shown as not being really able to deal with this change. In fact, Gerda may have been more sexually attracted to Lily than she was to Einar. Einar was kind of a depressed person. Lily was bright and happy. And the art that we don't get to see in the movie that Gerda created is explicitly lesbian-themed art. It is true that she used Einar, dressed as Lily, as a model for even some nudes, a number of pictures. But she also used Einar as a model for her more explicit lesbian watercolors. And there are a number of them. But I guess the idea of a bisexual woman was too much for the makers of this movie. I don't really understand why they sexually flattened her out.